Hey everyone. This episode of Busted Stuff originally premiered on Spotify in December 2019, so some of the content may feel slightly out of place. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy.
Are you a country boy or a city kid?
I'm not sure how to, probably more akin to a city kid than a, well, I'm not sure, actually.
Did you grow up on a farm?
No, but I grew up in proximity to farmland.
Okay, what's your mindset like? Is it high speed or is it sort of take it easy?
It's hard to quantify. Welcome back to Busted Stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm John.
Tommy yourself. Is my name.
All right, cool. I think it's contextually dependent.
This is a simple question.
Whether or not I'm, like, moving fast or, like, taking it easy.
Yeah, like, you
I
know,
think
are
it,
you,
I
like,
think
ty-
it, I think
type
it's
A
reasonable to say that depends
city
on the context.
Person? But, like, it's like a personality thing. So there's the type A personality,
okay.
Which is, like, kind of high speed, usually more, like, out there.
Mm-hmm.
Also tend to be more irritable, more levels of arousal, so, like, more anxious all the time. Versus, I guess, a type B, which is more, like, kind of laid back.
Right. Probably type A in city, then.
Really?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. I think I go through a lot of ideas quickly, and you know, certainly anxiety with regards to stuff I haven't done but need to be doing.
Okay,
that sort of thing
makes sense.
How about you? Are you laid back, or are you?
I'm a country
a
boy
kid?
All the way.
You are.
I mean, if I just look back historically on where I thrive, generally it's in the pasture eating grass, as opposed to
I see
in the streets eating pigeon meat and old newspaper.
Pigeon meat?
Well, I don't know, like whatever it is.
I was thinking like bread that like old women threw on the park.
Oh, okay,
ground,
yeah. I mean, I was kind of thinking I'm a human, not a bird.
Humans eat bread too.
Not thrown by old ladies on the ground.
Have you ever tried it?
Well, I mean, I can't say I have, but you.
It's
I think
pretty
okay.
Good.
So now,
so as the city boy, I have tried it, and
so,
you know what?
Yeah.
What? Bread tastes better when you find it on the ground in the park.
So what I'm picturing now.
That's the lesson.
Allow me to produce a terrible image.
Go ahead.
So. Classic, like, Central Park,
yeah.
Kind old woman is, like, throwing out bread to her birds,
yep.
And then a human comes up.
Specifically me.
But I want to flesh this out.
Go ahead.
Let's say it's you, but, like,
yeah.
You're an adult, and mm-hmm. you're, like, in a suit, and you clearly work some kind of white-collar job.
Sure.
Okay? These details are important.
Yeah.
So, the old lady's feeding, and then she just sees this, like, movement out of the corner of her eye. It's like, oh, you know, it's probably just someone walking their dog or
yeah.
whatever. And then she sees more movement. She's like, that's weird. What? Why is that man on all fours? And then she sees...
I had the exact same image in my mind.
And then you just come, like, scrambling up to her, and you're like,
yeah.
Bread, bread, bread. And she's like, doesn't know what to do.
She just, like, drops the whole thing.
All the pigeons are
fright.
Scared.
Yeah.
And then she drops it, you grab the bread, and then you just scutter away.
I don't grab it with my hands, I grab it with my teeth.
Oh, naturally.
I pick it up and then scurry away on all fours.
Yeah, and then...
I'm, like, covered in, like, twigs and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm, like, in a suit. But I'm covered in twigs, I'm, like, dirty.
Yep.
I'm all disheveled, and I just, like, have this wild look in my eye.
And then you go scrambling out of Central Park,
yep.
And the moment you leave the gates, you promptly stand up and you walk back to Goldman Sachs or whatever it is you work.
Yeah.
You're
and
just
I,
a little
I'm, And I'm just holding this loaf of bread. I'm just eating it like a candy bar or something.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But it's totally normal. I mean, everyone
yeah.
does that in New York.
Yeah.
Because that's what it means to be a city person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's my image of urban life.
So... The city. That's why the city person is more fast-paced, because in order to get that bread,
yeah.
you really need to startle the old lady.
Yeah,
if you're in the
you
country,
to...
though, you can. There's plenty of grass everywhere.
Exactly.
You can just eat whenever you want.
And everyone's very nice. They're super polite to each other, because they know there's
mm-hmm.
more than enough grass to go around.
That's right.
Whereas in the city, it's all about, you got to compete, you got to go fast.
Yeah.
You know, this is actually interesting, because what we're talking about here is kind of allegorical.
Okay.
Think about it. Bread. What is bread? Dough.
I was going to say, like, the body of Christ.
Okay, I was thinking more like, you know, you get bread, make money, you know?
Oh, okay.
Dough.
All right, fair
right?
enough.
So in the business world, in the city, it's all about competition, moving fast. You might have to dirty your suit a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
do some shady things. Whereas in the farm, it's
I think that's kind of stereotyping city people, though.
I mean, that's the whole point of this bit.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not trying to do this accurately, or I'm not trying to have any kind of nuance in depicting white-collar employees of Goldman Sachs as people scrounging for bread in Central Park. It's allegorical.
And completely literal.
Yes.
Yes. So, and then in the country, then, what's grass a metaphor for?
I'm going to say, you know.
Community.
Yeah. I don't think that really holds for the grass.
That's fine.
I mean, what's the goal when you're working on a farm? To have a good crop. I mean, right? You want to produce.
Of course.
Like, you don't want crop failure. You want to produce so you can sell and afford things and keep your family going.
You know what? You also need to sustain what you have.
Right.
And the slow pace of... You're never going to consume all of the grass.
Exactly. And it's also with sustainability. With everyone there, you're in this mutual understanding that if you can't... If you rush to try and take everything, there's going to be nothing.
And there's going to be a backlash from the community from whom you took it.
Whereas with the bread people, well, I mean, the only backlash comes from...
The bread people.
I guess the only backlash is from
the old ladies. Well, no, everyone's competing.
Well, what about the old lady? What does that symbolize?
The old lady is...
The working class?
It's a... Is the old lady the proletariat?
Maybe.
Or it could be, like, the finite pool of resources.
Okay. And then the old lady every time is just like, oh, no.
The old lady is, like, scarcity.
Okay.
And so there's only so much bread to get. The old lady only makes so much money from her Social Security check, I guess, to buy a certain amount of bread each week.
So you're saying it's like a closed economy.
That's right. There's not enough bread for everyone to get some every week. So
it's
sort of
a dog-eat-dog.
That's right.
It's a violent world.
It's quite ruthless.
So this actually segues into something.
Okay.
You'll understand why it segues in a little bit. It's going to take some time to get there.
Okay. I'll strap in.
So, what year is it?
2019.
What does that mean?
That it has been 2019 years since the... I don't know. It means it's 2019. What do you want from me?
No, but like...
All right.
What milestone is coming up?
I mean, it's about to be the end of the decade.
There you go.
Sure. All right. Well... You could have just been
or
like...
Or yes, it has been 2019 years since the birth of Christ or whatever you want to say. Or
era. I was going to say, I don't think common era is marked by the birth of Christ, is it?
Well, they correspond at the same year.
Is it?
Well,
I thought it was like...
People say BC or AD.
Yeah. AD... And then, what does AD mean? Isn't it Latin?
Domini?
Yeah. I don't remember what that means.
Something about like the year of our Lord or something.
Probably.
But no, because you can say BC, AD, or you can say BCE and CE.
Yeah,
and
before Common Era and Common Era.
Yeah, if I say 400 BC, I could also say 400 BCE, and it would be interpreted the same way.
Hmm.
There's no actual difference between...
Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Well done.
Yeah.
That's the one studying European history right there.
Yep. I couldn't tell you what BC means, though, so... It's okay. We don't need to go into it. The more important thing, new decade.
So, yeah.
What is the decade now? Or what will the decade be?
It'll be the 20s.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's the 20s again.
I'm excited, personally.
So we can relive the roaring 20s, except I think roaring needs to be replaced with a different adjective.
Like something else 20s.
Actually, I feel like we can arrive on the adjective once we discuss everything that's going to happen.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's really cool.
What do you have any specific predictions?
Oh, I do. I have several.
Oh, you do?
We'll get into those.
All right.
I just think it's really cool that now we can refer, or next year we'll be able to refer as our current time as the 20s. Because until now, saying the 20s, I think, 1922. Or when you say the 30s, I think 1939.
I'm still going to think that, though.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, you can say that and it would be correct. It's like, I'm living in the 30s now.
All right, but also it's a bit cheesy, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, but, like, I don't really care.
All right, fair enough.
Predictions.
Sure.
I mean, we can already see what's happening.
Do we want to... Is it going to be a reflection? Do you think history rhymes? Do you think that things that happened in the 20s are going to happen again in these 20s?
Just because the year is the same?
Well, because, like a cycle of history, do you think certain things are going to be similar? Or do you think it's not correlated whatsoever.
So the main correlation I see is the Great Depression.
Oh, good. But that was in the 30s.
Well, yeah, but it started in 1929.
All right. But, like...
But, like, it kicked off from after the 20s.
Yeah.
You know, the 20s came to a screeching halt with the Great
Depression.
So you
think we're, like, slightly shifted, so instead the Giant Depression is going to be in the 20s now instead of the 30s?
I think at some point in the 20s it will be kicked off, and it might last into the 30s, but, I mean, you think about it.
This is an optimistic prediction you have.
Since 2008,
yeah.
Since the Great Recession, the economy has been booming, and it's been growing at more and more crazy rates, and so many would say there's a bubble. I know little to nothing about the economy, but I can see that it's been going up for a long time.
I know nothing about economics, but
no, look at a graph of, like, GDP or, I don't know.
Just look at the graphs.
Not GDP. Look at a graph of the stock market, the Dow or the S&P 500. Yeah. It's been going up for way too long.
I agree. It's crazy.
And it has to go down at some point, you know? And it's going to reach kind of critical mass, I think.
Mm.
And so at some point in the next decade... we're going to have another recession, or I think it's going to be so bad, or it could be so bad, it'll be a depression.
Right.
And so the problem is now we won't really get to relive the roaring 20s because most of the 20s is going to be devoted to suffering.
So what you're saying is it's going to be the boring 20s?
Yes.
It's just because it's rhyme.
I saw the cogs turning there. No, boring. Yeah. Boring... I guess
snoring.
Depressing doesn't really rhyme with roaring.
I don't like depress. I mean, it should rhyme with roaring.
You've had one 20s and it was roaring. How about now? The depressing 20s?
No.
It doesn't rhyme.
No, it does. It's not.
Because, I think what's going to happen, it's going to line up exactly when we graduate from college.
You think we're going to graduate from college and then the economy is going to explode and we're all going to be unemployed?
Yes.
Nice.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Awesome.
Now,
well,
that's
nice.
But that's okay, though. There's also going to be good stuff. What are the other things that happened in the 20s? The original 20s?
Jazz.
What else?
Radio? Question mark? Or was that earlier?
I think that was earlier. No. Yes. I don't know. Maybe? No.
Well,
I'm going to say no.
When was penicillin invented? Was that in the 20s?
It was like turn of the century, I thought.
I feel like we should have done a little bit of research before this.
Yeah, well, some other things. Okay. Well, you can look that up if you want.
Fashion trends. A lot of, like, really good entertainment industry stuff.
Like?
Like, I mean, well...
Jazz.
And? Well, jazz and, like, Mickey Mouse and animation and stuff. That was huge at the time. Movies became a popular thing at the time.
And?
There's something, obviously, I'm missing here that he wants me to mention.
It begins with the letter C and rhymes with boss words.
Oh, crosswords were invented in the 1920s.
Were they invented then?
I think they were at least probably not invented.
They were popularized?
Popularized in the 1920s. Dude, you just want to talk about crosswords
and
this was your segue of talking about them?
Yeah.
You're right.
Do you do the crossword much?
I don't do... You know I don't do the crossword.
I do the crossword.
I know. We live together.
Yeah. All no, right. Actually, that wasn't the original segue intent.
It wasn't.
I wanted to talk about the whole...
Go ahead. Talk about your crosswords.
No.
So, no, it's okay.
I'm not going to.
Damn. Okay.
The main thing I wanted to segue from was how we were talking about this ridiculous concept of people in suits eating bread off of the ground in Central Park. How that is going to relate to the Great Depression.
Okay.
Because now the suit
You're saying, like, people are actually going to be starving and need
they
to get bread from the ground.
The allegory becomes literal. Is there a better word for that? Allegory becomes history.
Allegory becomes reality?
Yeah, that works. Allegory becomes reallegory. Yeah, because...
Reallegory my allegory.
No longer will they be collecting the bread as in money. They'll literally be collecting scraps. And that's the 20s.
That's awful.
That's my image of the 20s.
Lovely. What else besides for like...
But they're all going to be wearing flapper dresses instead of suits.
That's right.
Because it is the 20s.
Everybody.
All. And everyone's going to have the haircut.
Yep.
I mean, just think about
it. I mean, besides for the economic depression, that's totally going to happen. What else could happen?
In the 20s?
Yeah.
Well...
Do you think we're going to go to Mars yet?
We're going to go back to the moon.
I've been waiting to go to Mars for, like, ever.
I think we'll go back to the moon.
You think so?
Mars?
Like, soon?
Yeah, wasn't there plans to land people on the moon?
I feel like there's plans to land people on the moon in 5 years every year.
That's very true, but like, I think
like,
there was
an
actual...
I feel like we've been saying, like, we're going to go to Mars in the next 10 years since, like...
1830.
The 80s.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think they... The Orion capsule, I want to say, they've been testing... Like, NASA's been testing a new...
That's good.
...thing for astronauts, not just cargo. So... Going to the moon, I think, is likely. I don't know about Mars. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen.
I don't think it's going
to happen. If anything goes to Mars, it might be a private venture, and it won't have humans.
It'd be nice if we got back to the moon, though.
Yeah.
Like,
We already did that. We did it 50 years
ago. Sure, but, like, if we set up something permanent there.
Yeah, like, if we... I mean, if the ISS... The ISS is eventually going to be decommissioned.
I think it's going to be soon, actually. Yeah. I think it's, like, 2024.
So why not put it on the moon instead?
I feel like if... Isn't it... true that if we got like a permanent location on the moon for like a base, then launching stuff from the moon would be much more cost effective than from the Earth, because like the gravity is so much less, you could use less fuel.
The big thing there is you just have to assemble stuff on the moon,
which
would require a lot of back and forth. But I think,
or we just make a space elevator and call it a
day. That works too,
you know.
I just think we went to the moon 50 years ago. And since then, no human's gotten any farther than that.
Yeah. And you think we're going to get farther this decade?
I would like to, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I wonder if, like, trying to go to an asteroid or something.
Yeah, there was talk of that.
An asteroid would be further than Mars. That's, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just... You think about the 50 years between 1919 and 1969.
Yeah.
Think about how aircraft were biplanes, and then we were on the moon. And then from 1969 to now, like, yeah, technology's advanced, but we haven't really gotten any further into space, I guess.
So do you think we're going to actually do that?
No.
Oh.
But maybe in the next 50 years. But I'm just saying, these current 50 years, I feel like have kind of stagnated when it comes to human exploration.
Probably because there's not been, like, this intense... like military incentive for space development.
You know what we need? China needs to go to the moon. Because if China goes to the moon, then the U.S. will want to go farther.
Just recently, last week maybe, I don't exactly remember, but I saw on the New York Times that Congress approved the establishment of the Space Force as the sixth military branch.
Yeah.
Like legit now.
So maybe that'll have some incentives for getting humans faster and farther.
Somehow I feel like it won't do a whole lot.
I think it's
just a name thing that they have now.
I mean, think about the recruiting though. It's like, you want to punch aliens.
You want to join the Space Force.
I mean, how cool is that? Like, yeah, I'm in the Space Force.
The United States Space Marines.
Yeah, like that could be a thing now.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
But no, I just like to see that. 1919 to 1969 was a huge amount of progress. Also,
so you think from 2019
to 2069, I'm hoping we see a similar bout. Except the problem is a lot of the reason for that progress was World Wars
and the Cold War.
And Cold War.
Right.
So
you're saying is we need to engage in a Cold War with China. That's your solution? I feel like that's not a good idea.
Yeah, see, logically, what I'm arguing for is more world wars and another Cold War.
That's not a good argument. that's a negative, no, I would say, objectively.
It'd be nice to have another space race, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you can...
Just one that's not, like, entirely backed by espionage about, like, nuclear proliferation.
Sure. How about we make it about trade instead? You know? There's always, like, people always trying to start a trade war. Let's make it a cold trade war that involves space trade.
That's crazy.
And then,
what does that even mean?
So it's a trade war, but it's a cold trade war. So you have brinksmanship, right? Pulling some IR terms out here.
Oh boy.
And you have, I forget the rest of IR. There's like a bunch of other fun
I
terms.
I forget the entirety of the rest of international relations.
No, there's brinksmanship, there's... What's the other one? Bargaining range. You know, all those fun gimmicky things that boil things down to simple words. No, if we have a cold trade war, everyone's threatening trade war, and in order to combat it, they're thinking of crazier and crazier ways to trade and crazier things to trade. What things can you trade? Mars dust.
Wow. There, isn't it true that, like, nearby, in air quotes, but nearby, like, space rocks, so, like, asteroids, but
yeah.
Meteor, like, whatever. What's a term for it that's not asteroid? Because asteroids specifically come from the asteroid belt.
Asteroid, meteor, comet, space rock.
Object, I guess, named object. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, those sorts of flying rocks, let's call them.
Okay.
They have, like, bajillions of dollars worth of, like,
right.
different materials on yeah. them.
And that's going to be the new trade thing.
That's I bet that's going to be, like, a huge thing. The first time that someone gets on one of those and starts mining one, it's going to probably destroy the economy. But also, you know, they'll be incredibly rich and everyone
right.
will. That'll motivate everyone to go.
So there's going to be a race to collect all of the space dust.
Mm.
Except then the knowledge is going to be that whoever, if you can actually get, successfully mine the dust and bring it back, your economy is going to, like, be crazy. Right, you'll just have all this money.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that. I feel like that's not how the. I feel like having a lot of money really quickly.
Inflation is not a problem.
Is there a metaphor? What happened when the Spanish just started importing all the gold from, or was it silver?
It was silver.
It was silver from Latin America.
They used it to
fund.
And
then it became less valuable. Because there was so much of it.
Well, yeah, but before that happened, though, the silver successfully funded all kinds of wars, all kinds of conflict in Europe, Habsburg empires, all of their conquests,
right.
Internal turmoil in England. All of that was funded by silver from the New World. So, yeah, it had a great effect. I mean, the silver was put to good use. Lots of war.
Yikes.
Well, you know, the 30 Years' War? A lot of the funding for that came
yeah.
from Spanish silver.
Hmm.
Gotta love the Habsburgs. But I'm saying we get the space dust. Okay, so the real question is, where does the cold aspect of this come in? Is the race to get the space dust, or is the race to say...
I mean, cold refer... a war being cold refers to there not being...
There's not actually...
active
explosions.
Conventional fighting.
Yeah.
So
there's not active conventional trade war.
As long as
there's
not... What does conventional trade war refer to versus...
Tariffs.
I mean, conventional warfare versus unconventional refers to the difference between, like, you know... troops and, like, deployment and stuff like that versus, like, biological and nuclear weapons. Like,
yeah.
that's unconventional. So if conventional trade war is, like, tariffs and
okay,
stuff...
Okay, so what I'm trying to say, hot trade war.
Oh, so there's a hot war.
No, so the opposite of cold war is a hot war. A hot war is means there are, you know, troops on the ground, people
yeah.
firing at each other.
Cetera,
it's very obvious. A hot trade war is, you know, there are embargoes, tariffs,
yeah.
whatever you want. Right, so the cold trade war, then, is... Everyone is threatening each other, and they're sort of...
Okay, so there's, like, threats of protectionist
and there's proxy.
Trade policy, and...
Yeah, and there's got to be, like, some sort of proxy trade
so
war.
So there's, like, you direct your protectionist trade policy towards, like, allies of the nation without actually... What's, like, a Chinese ally that we would embargo? Probably
Iran? Korea? North Korea.
I mean, we already kind of are.
Russia, maybe. I don't know if they're allies, though.
Are we in both a hot and cold trade war with China right now?
Maybe.
I
However,
feel like we're not qualified to talk
no,
about
No, we're
this.
Not. So let's right, continue talking
cool.
about space dust.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, how about this? The nuclear deterrent, in this case, is not a nuclear weapon. It's the threat of space dust being injected into an economy. So China's like, if you look how much space dust I've stockpiled... On a whim, I can sell all of this into the U.S. economy, or I can buy...
And cause hyperinflation.
Or I can buy...
But if they're holding on to it, then wouldn't the inflation have happened to them already?
No. So, okay, here we go. I got this.
Okay.
So each side is stockpiling...
You've solved the economy.
I have.
Let's go.
They each stockpile space dust. Okay?
Yeah.
And basically nuclear war would be one side buying the other side's space dust. Right? And so the more space dust you have, it means the more money it will be. So if the U.S. has 1 million units of space dust, okay? And each space dust is like $1 million, each unit. If China buys all of them, the amount of money that will shoot into the U.S. economy would be astronomical and totally screw things over, right?
Right.
vice versa, if China has a ton of space dust and the U.S. buys all of it, then China will be messed up. So basically the nuclear weapon here is buying all of the opposite side's space dust. So in order to deter that, you want to have more space dust. No. Wait.
I get what you said.
I think I might
I
have
feel like it's wrong.
I think it is wrong.
Because how would you buy all the space dust if it's like unimaginably expensive?
Credit?
Well,
I don't know.
Just like triple the U.S. debt from like one purchase.
I'm trying to think of. I feel like maybe this is a lost cause.
I feel like this is not a worthwhile or fruitful conversation to continue.
And honestly,
where did we go?
Well, trying to figure out the Cold War.
We went wrong talking about economics. I feel like.
But
space was cool.
Yeah, let's go back to space.
I
just want to go to Mars. If you had the option to go to Mars...
I probably wouldn't. I don't think I'm cut out to be an astronaut.
Okay, so I don't even need to give you the actual second part of that prompt.
No.
Because the second part is, if you could be the first man on Mars but could never come back...
Yeah, see, I don't think unless there's, like, a surefire way that I... It needs to be, like, about as safe as current space flight.
Okay.
Or, it's not space flight. About as safe as current, like, airlines, where, like, I can come back.
Oh, so never?
Well, all right.
Space flight is just inherently dangerous.
Sure, but like, I don't know. I just wouldn't feel super comfortable with it.
Okay.
Because I would want to be. I have the assurance that I could come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What
if you could be cloned?
I hate that. I hate this. The whole cloning thing.
What if that happened in the next decade? Cloning.
Oh, God.
Successful cloning. People have been talking about cloning for a while because they cloned a sheep years ago.
Yeah.
Why not clone a human?
Because I feel like it's unethical.
Why?
Because, I mean, what would happen? Would the clone have all your memories? How does it work?
Well, I don't think you can... You can't...
How sci-fi is this clone?
Okay, so when you clone something, you basically... I think you take... a full adult, and then you clone it, and you make a new one that grows up.
So it's not a child.
It's not going to have the same memories. It's just going to have the same genetic makeup.
It's just going to be the same person.
It'll have the same DNA, the same genetic makeup, all the same alleles, whatever.
What does that psychologically do to it, though? Like, if it grew up knowing that there was a person out
just
there
like
who was exactly them.
That's like having an identical twin.
I don't know. It's like...
Just don't tell them they're cloned.
Oh, God.
Easy.
So then they just run into their clone someday.
So ethics aside, if you were going to do a study on this, you'd want to do a study, multiple studies. Ideally, actually, would be great is if you have multiple clones of the same person because
and
you could do one study where you don't tell them, one study where you do tell them.
Yeah.
Vary
the amount of interaction they get with the original.
Yeah, and one study where they like live with the original. You have two clones living together. There's so much stuff you could do here that'd be really cool. I mean, it would be the ultimate study for the effective environment on a person. Nurture.
Yeah.
Then again, I mean, people do that all the time with identical twin studies. It's kind of the same thing. So maybe it's not that useful for at least studies of genetics and environment, but I think it'd be cool to clone people either way.
That's true.
I mean, how would you feel if your clone walked in into your room one day?
I feel like... I don't know. Would I get along with my clone? Would you get along with your clone?
Oh, for sure.
You would?
Yeah.
You'd be
best
super
friends.
Chill.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would get along with my clone. I feel like I do a lot of things that, like, I would be annoyed by, and I feel like they would be annoyed by me. I mean, that's saying the same thing.
No, I think that's true, actually. I would probably be annoyed at a lot of my clones. But at the same time, if the clone was raised somewhere else, I mean, we'd be totally different. We would look the same, but we would act...
That might be even worse. Like, what if my clone was, like, kind of a jackass? Like, what if I just, like, really didn't like the personality that they became?
Get a new clone.
Just make another?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, the problem is here, I would want a clone who is me right now.
Right.
I wouldn't want to watch, like, clone me grow up.
Oh, God. Yeah, that...
I mean, it'd be kind of interesting, but I would want to see a clone of myself. Like, right now. Because then it'd be like, you're observing yourself, but not really yourself. I don't know. Like, can you imagine having a conversation with yourself?
And that would be strange. Imagine, but would you know what they were going to say? Because, like, no. If you ask something, you know, like, here's what I'd probably say, and then they say that thing,
mm-hmm.
because they have the exact same thought process.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool, but it'd be weird.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm thinking...
The conversation would be useless because you know all the answers of what they're going to ask.
Well, that's only if you've cloned every aspect of them, including personality, memories.
Right, that's... I mean, that's...
Oh, okay.
I thought that was the hypothetical.
No, I was just thinking more like a clone, but that's kind of boring. That's just like, oh, here's a person that looks like you. It's like, all right, cool. Like,
but they're not the same person.
Yeah. So imagine a podcast where it's just two clones talking.
What we're admitting to here is that Tommy and John are two names for the same person. I'm actually just sitting here by myself talking and making an impression.
Nick, but like, think about how hard it would be to listen to, because you would never know which one is talking.
Yeah, you're right.
It might as well just be a one-person show.
Yeah.
Because they're just sort of talking and completing each other's sentences.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, but cloning could happen next decade.
That's true. What else could happen next decade? Besides for economic depression and cloning.
A massive bacterial infection that decimates humanity.
Nice.
Because of, you know, antibacterial resistance.
Yeah. Fun.
Any good things?
The space stuff could be cool.
Space could be cool.
Unless, as long as it doesn't, like, destroy the economy.
Yeah.
AI?
AI.
Is probably, well...
AI, how about this?
Are we going to reach the singularity?
Somehow the development of AI and then the complete destruction of humanity.
Good.
Most of these
keep
are,
going back
these
to
are
the
all doomsday scenarios.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We're reaching a point in technology where, or medicine, where...
Anymore and we're just going to destroy ourselves.
Anymore and we just die. The great filter, you know?
Yeah. What's like a really useful thing that could happen though?
Self-driving cars.
You think VR is going to be really cool?
Oh, VR or AR.
AR.
Augmented reality.
Mm.
That could be kind of cool.
I feel like I'm more interested in VR.
Yeah, like full-on virtual, like you can live wherever, whenever. That would be kind of fun.
Mm. Like the holodeck in Star Trek or something?
Yeah, or like Ready Player One.
Mm.
That's kind of cool. How about, self-driving cars.
I kind of...
That's a future.
I'm not... Like, obviously, I'm fine with driving, and sometimes I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, super attached to it. So if I could get a self-driving car and just not have to drive...
Yeah.
I probably would.
It'd be kind of nice. I mean, I do love driving, though. I love just going on a drive sometimes.
Mm, that's fair.
With
I
the
don't...
self-driving car, you don't really have any control.
You can't really do that.
You lose
And you have to, like, be going somewhere.
You know what was a thing in the 20s?
What?
Just going on a drive, your Sunday drive, you know?
Was that a thing in the 20s?
Yeah. I don't know about the 20s, but it was a thing. You know, people would go out driving. Because it's fun. You just drive. It's like...
What kind of cars were available in the 20s? When was Ford's...
The Model T was 1908, 1904. It was early.
Really?
Yeah, it was early 1900s.
Oh.
But, I mean, cars were like...
Some people had cars. Cause
yeah,
everyone
a lot.
Had a Model T.
But... Yeah, by the 20s, there were probably a lot of cars around.
Hmm.
No, so, yeah.
But you're right. Self-driving cars could be a thing.
Yeah.
Whatever Elon's got cooking up.
Yeah, along with his Cybertruck.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so self-driving cars, that's one. What about... What's another positive thing?
Hmm. I bet you, like, we find cures to a lot of... Not cures, but, like, really effective treatments to a lot of diseases.
Yeah, because that's always...
That, like, we
fast.
Haven't been able to do yet.
Yeah.
So, like, HIV, AIDS. Wasn't there, like, something, some recent
some breakthrough.
Development?
Yeah. I don't know exactly what it was, though.
Yeah.
So that's one. Maybe people could invent a fun new food.
Well, how creative.
I've made a new drink.
It's called Blop.
Blop.
That's right.
Wow, what a terrible name.
Blop in a can.
I'm just picturing, like, something gelatinous that
yeah.
sort of slides out. And
but it tastes incredible.
What does Blop taste like? Bacon, lettuce, orange, potato?
I hate that. Stop.
That's not a bad combination.
Bacon,
lettuce
orange, tomato.
Potato.
As a gelatinous drink.
Well, let's start with just the ingredients.
Mm, a Blop potato, and some grub.
Okay, bacon and potatoes. Fine.
Yeah.
Bacon, lettuce, and potatoes. Sure. Orange
right.
adds a little zest. Zesty potato. I don't think it would be that bad.
I think it wouldn't be great.
Now, put it in a blender. Add some water. some ice cubes,
yeah,
maybe some ice cream, make a milkshake, flop shake. Not the worst thing.
Flop shake. That's like the jingle.
You know,
it's like there's a commercial. It's
flop shake.
Do, 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 do. Flop shake.
That's the thing.
Perfect.
I was thinking about this, I think it was yesterday morning.
You were thinking about blob shakes.
No, actually, you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about mayonnaise, because all roads lead back to mayonnaise. And I was getting yogurt.
Yeah.
I was getting yogurt at the salad bar, and there was the plain yogurt, and I was like, this looks like mayonnaise. And I started laughing.
It's because we had that conversation. You just started giggling to yourself at a salad bar alone.
Imagine a milkshake, but replace the ice cream with mayonnaise.
I hate it.
Chocolate mayonnaise.
Man.
Could you imagine?
Why do we always talk about this sort of stuff? How does it happen?
Because it's easy to talk about and it's fun.
I guess so.
But imagine, what is chocolate mayonnaise? Wait. This is a whole industry. Why are there not flavored mayonnaise?
Flavored mayonnaises?
You know, think about it. You could have, like, lemon-lime mayonnaise.
What's mayonnaise made of?
Eggs, oil, salt.
Just throw in some chocolate.
So just add chocolate. Add, you know, vanilla extract.
Eggnog mayonnaise?
No.
From the nog? From the eggnog?
No, that's too far.
All right. Why is that too far, but chocolate isn't?
Because we're talking about real things.
It's like a holiday flavored mayonnaise.
But pumpkin spice mayonnaise.
Birthday cake mayonnaise.
I mean, okay, I think there is some potential. Like chicken mayonnaise.
Uh-huh.
It's a delicious, savory condiment for your potatoes or something. Or how about, you know, cracked pepper. Or, garlic mayonnaise. That would be delicious.
You know what?
That's
what, a thing. You know what could happen in the 20s?
New mayos.
Well, that. But also, I was going to say something more realistic.
Okay.
So, like, printed food.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 3D printing and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the printing, like, a burger, but have it, like, taste like an actual burger from a cow.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
That would be.
I'd be, if it tastes like it or close enough to it, I'd be on board with that, because that would do wonders for, like, the environment.
The one thing is, though, texture. How much do you care about the texture? Because that's what makes food food. A lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, so here's one scenario.
But don't you think you could achieve that with approximate enough printing? Like,
maybe, but I want to present something to you first.
Okay.
So what if you get the perfect taste and flavor and smells, but all 3D printed food is just printed as, like, a gelatinous blob?
Would it have to be gelatinous?
Well, obviously. What else would it be?
I don't know, like
crunchy?
Just a cube.
So like a food cube, like a chewy food cube.
Mm.
And you eat it, and you're like, a hamburger.
That'd be pretty weird. I don't know how I feel about that.
Because I think it's going to take a while to accurately recreate, you know, the texture of a banana or something.
Yeah, probably. Printed.
Or, like, but you flakiness.
No, but you wouldn't
pastry.
Have to necessarily. I was thinking for, like,
for just meat.
For animals.
Yeah, because, like, that's the most sustainable.
Yeah,
that's true. But back to mayonnaise.
Sure.
Don't you think that's a good idea?
Flavored mayonnaise.
A line of flavored mayonnaise.
I mean,
mayo?
We talked about how we hate that we like mayonnaise in the first place,
right?
Anyway.
So why not make it better by giving it flavor? Or more flavors?
I feel like that just make me hate it more.
You know how there's different flavors of Doritos?
Yeah.
You know, why not have
I also hate that I like Doritos.
Oh, okay. Well, how about there's different flavors of Pringle?
I mean,
and you can make hamburgers with Pringles, because you take the Pringle with the meat Pringle and the cheese Pringle, and you make a stack, and
yeah,
you eat it, and it's like a hamburger.
You have a bread Pringle, and then you have a cheese Pringle, and you have a lettuce
flavors.
Pringle, and you have a meat Pringle, and a tomato one, and then another bread
Or like ice
and
cream.
And you just have a burger and a Pringle.
Ice cream has flavors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soda, flavors.
Yeah.
There's a
so
million.
Why not have flavors for everything else?
Yeah.
Let me get my chocolate flavored burger.
I don't know how much that would work, because that's like meat.
Mm.
You know, I'm just saying, like, things
you
that
just
are already
add chocolate to the meat cube.
Oh, okay, for 3D printing.
Yeah,
but things that are, you know, things that come in a bottle or a can, sort of more produced, more processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Most processed foods have different types. You know, mustard on its own, you can get a lot of different types of mustard.
Right.
Cereal. There's like a million types of Cheerios.
Yeah.
they don't really do that for ketchup or mayo or
because those have like a very they're like that's like its own flavor.
Yeah, they are their own flavor, but I think you could add some
also
new
like
ones.
The fact that it exists like ketchup inherently is like tomato like it's inherent yeah. within ketchup that it's tomato. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like if you called it like chocolate ketchup, it wouldn't be ketchup.
It would be like
chocolate
Nutella.
Sauce or something. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but I think so we scratched that for everything, but I think it would work with mayo.
Specifically mayo.
What does mayo taste like? It doesn't taste like eggs. It doesn't
taste
like canola oil.
It tastes like mayo.
Right, but it's not like you know crushed tomatoes. Ketchup tastes like tomatoes.
Yeah.
Mayo doesn't taste like eggs. Hmm. So what I'm trying to get
so
at
So you
here,
can... It has the capacity to be, like,
mayo already is not an original flavor.
Hmm.
It's the result of multiple things coming together. So we take the mayo and we just add, you know...
Orange Fanta.
Whoa, that's weird. I said orange.
Oh, whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. So you have orange mayo.
Orange Fanta mayo.
Orange Fanta mayo. It goes really well on... You know, your sandwich.
On your cereal. On your corn.
Yeah, no, orange, mayo, corn.
Perfect.
Basically, my whole idea here is I want to add a new layer of disgust
to your corn bowl.
To my corn bowl.
This is three podcasts in a row that we've talked
yeah,
about
but
this
we're
horrible corn bowl.
We're building. I mean, first it was just corn and milk, which is lame. Now we have corn and mayo, and now we have corn in flavored mayo. So, like, what's the worst thing that could go with corn and mayo?
That's like the worst flavor?
Yeah. Chocolate?
Chocolate would be pretty rough. I mean, chocolate,
imagine,
mayonnaise, and corn.
You know how you get chocolate-covered raisins?
Yeah.
Imagine chocolate-covered corn. Or like chocolate-covered strawberries, but you have chocolate-covered corn.
Oh, God.
Because corn doesn't taste like much, but it has that weird sort of earthy aftertaste.
Yeah.
You know, it's corn.
Hmm.
Chocolate-covered carrot? I could eat that. I think something could work there. Chocolate-covered corn.
We've talked about carrots being, like, very neutral.
Right.
Like, that's why they worked with milk.
Exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah,
right. Comparatively.
As the results of our study were inconclusive, but carrots trended towards working. I would say.
That's right.
Yeah, so chocolate-covered corn. Gross. Uh-huh. So what, you actually don't have to do flavored mayo. Let's scrap that idea. It was dumb. I'm going to admit that.
I kind of like that it was that dumb.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, I guess.
So here's what you do. You have a different flavor. The mayo is one flavor, but then the corn is another flavor.
Like the flavored corn?
No, so like the chocolate corn.
Oh, so how about this? You
so
just
like
get a chocolate
covered corn.
Yeah.
And then in orange Fanta mayo.
But the mayo is still flavored. But the orange and the chocolate will go well together, so we can't do that.
Oh, that's right. So what would not go well with either corn. Chocolate corn or mayonnaise?
Well, we've kind of covered savory and sweet.
Like coffee? No, coffee and chocolate works too well.
Something really
coffee,
salty.
Mayo.
Oh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh.
I know. We do chocolate mayo, and we pickle the corn.
Pickle the corn. Oh.
Because yeah.
Oh.
You get the vinegar.
Yeah.
Combined with the chocolate.
It's like, just throw some coleslaw in there.
You know what coleslaw's made with? Mayo.
Vinegar.
You know what's crazy?
Potato
salad, it's potatoes with mayo. Egg salad, eggs and mayo. Tuna salad, tuna and mayo.
I hate that.
Mayo makes salad.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're about to open up a whole new world here.
Oh, no.
So think about it. Fruit salad, it should have mayonnaise in it.
No.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's not a salad otherwise.
Mayo does not make a salad. It just transforms non-salad things into a salad. I think fruit on its own can be a salad.
I don't think so.
Fruit and vegetables can make salads. Things that aren't fruits and vegetables need mayo to make salads.
There's no vegetables in a fruit salad, though.
Yeah. Fruit and vegetables can make salads.
I don't buy it. I think it's just a fruit cocktail. Or it's just a pile of fruit. You need mayonnaise, I'm sorry. But your fruit salad is invalid without mayonnaise.
Man, why do you do this?
Your watermelon...
Why do we always do this?
Your cocktail of melon...
Uh-huh.
It's not a fruit salad until you douse it in Hellmann's.
Oh, God. Specifically, chocolate Hellmann's.
That would be pretty good. I think flavored mayonnaise wouldn't really taste like mayonnaise anymore. That's the problem. Because the part of what makes this whole concept so horrific is the specific flavor of mayo.
I guess so.
That's why, like, adding, you know, pickled chocolate corn into mayo would be crazy. That'd be mind-blowing.
Could you imagine what that even would taste like?
I kind of want to know.
Me too, but I'm scared.
It's like, or, you know the durian fruit?
No, actually.
It's like the worst smelling thing ever.
Oh, it's the thing that smells like death?
Yeah, but it tastes really good. I want to inject that smell and not the flavor. You know, one day we should do a cooking show where we record while we're making these things.
And put the audio on.
And just put the audio. So it'd be like,
in a podcast.
So now we're making a fruit salad and you just hear the fruit go into the bowl and you hear like a nice glop of mayonnaise.
Oh.
And it's like, all right, you know, cheers.
And then you just hear vomiting in the background.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Great.
So we'll have to do a special.
I think it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, so we'll do
Speaking of special, this was originally going to be a Christmas special.
Was it?
Do you remember that? We've been talking... we're almost done.
All right, well, let's do Christmas for 10 minutes.
Let's talk about Christmas for, like, a little bit. Holidays in general.
Yeah, well, sorry. Holidays.
Yeah.
You know, Hanukkah is a holiday.
That's right. Good work.
I know all the
Kwanzaa
holidays.
Too?
Kwanzaa is a holiday.
Do you know any other holidays?
I can't say there are any other holidays. Independence Day?
That's a holiday.
All right, cool. Nice. So, yeah, winter holidays are...
before we even delve into it...
Don't ask me if I have any traditions.
No, I'm not going to.
Good.
Is there anything that... do you have any, like, stories?
About Christmas
I brought it up without having any ideas on what we would actually talk about.
Yeah, because, I mean, everyone's always like, the Christmas special.
Yeah, and then we talk about...
like
Christmas.
Wow, one time there was Christmas. Stories? I don't know.
I don't really have any. I feel like this is a terrible topic.
All right, well, that ends the holiday special.
Do you have any, like... This is the last... Going back to decades.
The
last podcast before... both of the year and of the decade.
Before the roaring 20s begin.
Before the snoring 20s begin.
Do you have any... how about this? Instead of making this the Christmas special, we make it the decade special.
Mm.
Do you have any reflections on the last decade?
It's been a weird one. Like, it started out pretty normal feeling, and then, like, halfway through, it went kind of nuts.
What happened?
Oh, so, like... in terms of, like, 2016 was a weird year.
Oh, you're talking about, like, politics and the world?
Politics and, like, how the world works and, like, the internet and social media and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it...
that's true.
Was like, Twitter and Facebook a thing in, like, 2009?
Like, yes, but no.
Like, it's nowhere near
what
it was, what it is right now. Like, social media is such a dominating force.
Yeah.
And also, like, Trump and Brexit happened in the same year.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Do you remember how many people died in 2016?
No.
Like, celebrities, I mean.
Oh.
Like, that, like, the whole, like...
I thought you meant, like, just a, like, the global death toll.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, I don't know.
No, like, celebrities, like, celebrity passing away. That was, like, a big thing in 2016,
too. Oh, it was,
too.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Just in general.
But, like, what about you?
About me, like me specifically? I mean, I was, like... 9 when
I've
the
doubled,
decade started.
I've doubled in age.
Same.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm now 12.
Good job, Tommy.
Thanks. Yeah.
Great. I've actually tripled in age in the past 10 years.
Wow, that's miraculous.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, if you tripled in age in the past 10 years, that means you were 5 when the decade started.
That's right.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
I mean, decade is kind of an arbitrary division, but still, 10 years ago...
it's weird to talk about being alive for 2 decades.
Yeah. Well, no, we're going into... yeah, I guess we're going into our
third
decade.
We're going to be 2 decades old.
After this
year. A decade always seemed like such a large span of time.
Well, it's a nice unit for a human life, because a human life is going to be like 7 to 12 decades, you know?
12 decades?
Well, the world record is like 122.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a nice chunk... because it's not... I mean, saying a quarter century is too long.
Mm.
Saying just a year is too short. It's the best unit we have for you know, you talk about life like, oh, my teens, my 20s, my 30s.
That's right.
So,
do you think there... One thing I've always found interesting is, like, looking... Do you think the 20th century was more busy in terms of human development than past centuries had been? Like, do you think it was crazier?
Because, oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like there's so many things you can point to every single decade that's, like, paradigm shifting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the same is true for the 20s, for the 2000s and 2010s, but it feels harder to point that stuff out, I guess, because
we're living in it currently. It's harder to pin down, like, the major shift for each decade, I think. But, I mean, compared to 200 years ago, stuff is moving so much faster.
Do you think the flapper trends in the 20s is going to be... Do you think the hipster trend of the 2010s is the same as the flapper trend in the 20s? Like, that sort of Instagram aesthetic? Hmm. And, like young people looking all weird and having odd fashion choices?
I mean, I guess young people trying to be...
Because that's what the flapper thing was. It was young people dressing differently.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because it was the generation that didn't fight in the First World War.
Yeah.
It's like the silent generation. They're those weird interim generations.
The interbellum generation.
Yeah, wow, nice word.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I guess that's it. I mean, what was the major... But the thing is, we're still... I mean, because our generation, we're on the heels of the Iraq War and the war in Afghanistan, which isn't over. That's crazy. There's the war that's been going on for basically our entire life. I mean, that's sort of thing.
That's pretty significant, I suppose.
That sort of thing hasn't happened for a generation since, like, I don't know, maybe the... I mean, think about the 30 Years' War. People who were born in 1618, if you were in Germany, you would have been in a place of war for most of your life.
Hmm.
Much more intense there, because here, for us, it's not on the home front, really. There isn't really a home front in this war.
No.
So it's a much less attached thing.
It's probably why it's been able to go on for as long as definitely. It has.
But it's still weird to think about. And it's also because our generation is sort of split. You know, like the hipsters, people the same age as the hipsters were also off fighting wars.
Hmm.
You know, so it's not the same, like, I feel like things were more, you know, the entire generation. Actually, that's not true. When you think about the 60s and 70s, like, half the people were, like,
yeah, like hippies. Like, you talk about the hippies, and, like, that's, like, a thing.
That's, like, in contrast to the rest of the U.S., though.
Hmm. I guess that's true. Like, is there, like, a prominent counterculture of our generation? Everyone's depressed, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's, like, sad and edgy. That's it. I don't know.
It's reflected in the music, certainly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of... I feel like it's not as romantic as hippies.
Yeah.
It's just sort of, like... I feel like that kind of reflects
our generation. That's it, then.
It's just like, big yikes, oof, haha.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's like, haha, big oof.
Like, press F in the chat.
Yeah, like, haha, existential crisis.
Dread.
Yeah. I don't know, it's kind of lame. But our generation sucks. I don't know. We'll see what the 20s hold. I think they could be fun.
I think they'll be pretty good. I'm optimistic. I feel like cool stuff will happen.
Yeah.
In general. Sure, bad stuff will happen, but bad stuff always happens. So, like...
You heard it here first. Cool stuff could happen. Bad stuff will also happen.
Am I wrong?
No. I mean, that's sort of just life, but...
It's time.
Yeah.
All right. What have we talked about this episode?
Oh, man. We started with the allegory of the bread. Not to be confused with the allegory of the cave from Plato. I just want to distinguish two important philosophies. So the allegory of the bread...
How long were you waiting to say that?
Actually,
Did that just pop into your mind?
That just popped into my mind.
Because that was, like, peak, like, squirrel reaction.
Because, no, when I said allegory of the bread, I was like, wait, that sounds like allegory of the cave. And it was, like, maybe a 3 second...
I don't even know what the allegory of the cave refers to. Do you want to explain it?
And it's a Platonic thing. I don't really... Basically, okay.
So you said
there's guys
without,
in a cave, there's a fire, okay. They see all their right. shadow. It's like this whole thing, and they don't understand what life is outside
the cave.
Oh,
yeah. So it's like they're staring at their shadow the whole time. They have no idea that the outside of the cave even exists.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, now I've heard
that. Okay. So
I'm wow. Does anyone understand that?
So there's the shadow and the fire, and there's the guy sitting, and they all, they don't know,
we both just recognized that we knew what each other was talking about. We didn't explain it.
But no, I'm sure everyone, they're all on the
You're all intelligent people.
Yeah.
If you don't understand it through our mad ramblings, then you'll be able to look it up on Wikipedia
fine.
10 seconds.
It's so fine. We started there with the allegory of the bread, and then we got into the 20s, the next Great Depression, the space race, the trade war.
Yep. We didn't talk, we talked about economics that we didn't understand like probably 10 minutes.
It was rough.
I'm sorry.
And of course we came back to mayonnaise because
that's right.
It's my favorite topic, apparently.
I think we have like a mayonnaise segment.
I think it's just really fun to talk about things that are gross.
Oh, sure.
I think we should just kind of parcel out a chunk of time that's for things that are gross.
Well, I don't even think we need to parcel that time, that
it'll
chunk out
happen.
Because it just happens anyway. Yeah.
And then after
mayonnaise, it almost took over the podcast.
Yeah, you were steering us away. I was like, no, back to the mayonnaise. And then what did we end on? Thoughts on
Gen Z is depressed.
Yeah, I guess we were doing the decade segment. You know, this is the decade special.
Also, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Have a good holidays.
Yeah, we'll be back in
January.
The next decade.
Actually, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. This regularly scheduled time is not going to be a thing for a while. We might have to record elsewhere.
Somewhere else.
Because
the
radio has to remake the schedule, which always takes a really long time.
That's fair.
So we might be recording and kind of sending these out sporadically, but there will be more in the new year.
That's right.
So stay tuned.
Look forward to that.
You know, share it with your friends.
For all of you who have listened thus far, we appreciate it. We don't know who any of you are.
Yeah, and somehow the listener count has ticked up.
And we're, like, flabbergasted that anyone is actually listening to this.
And hey, if you like it, tell people about it. Or don't.
And
if you hate it, just listen to it anyway.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Email us at, what's the email?
Bustedstuffpod@gmail.com.
I think it's listed in the description.
It's listed in descriptions for the episode. So.
We'd love to hear if there was someone who exists that's not a bot.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Also, leave a review, you know, preferably
five stars. Advertising our, look at us doing like the podcast thing now.
Hey, well, sorry, we're legit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so thanks to everyone who listened.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah.
Have an excellent rest of your year. And go get that chocolate mayo.